This is Caffeinated Risk, the podcast for security professionals by security professionals. Here are your two self-proclaimed grumpy security guys, Tim McCreet and Doug Leese.
Welcome, folks, to Season 4 of Caffeinated Risk. For our next podcast, we spend time chatting about a quote from a famous sports figure. Everyone has a plan till they get punched in the face. We had a great session focused on resilience and incident response, reflecting on some current events that grabbed our attention. As always, we weaved in a little bit of ESRM too. And now, let's check out our latest podcast with Doug and Tim.
All right. You'd mentioned a couple of things. I feel really bad. I didn't know what any of those things were. So I did some digging, you know, never wanted to shy away from research. So you mentioned that the RCMP had an incident.
Yes.
And I thought, great. And I went looking for that. I thought that was interesting because they didn't really say anything other than none of our operations were affected.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't Colonial say the same thing for some reason?
Well, but I think the Colonial, it was a little more obvious, right? Because there was no gas coming out of the end of the pipe.
Right.
How do you know that our intelligence was compromised or not? Isn't that kind of the point?
I always cringe when you see those because that truly is a marketing spin. Some PR person came up with that line and you want to ask the question, you want to find somebody to answer, but I'll be honest, I'd be afraid to get some of the answers, I think. So that's my fear, is that you'd actually get a legitimate answer, then you'd really start to worry.
But I think, you know, people that are working in this industry, not just the self-proclaimed grumpy security ones, but others too, I think if you've been at this a while, you learn to recognize a little bit of spin doctoring and things like that.
Exactly.
I think the challenge for the media and even those reporting is what is a cyber incident? You know, if somebody creates a script and shuts down your website for 20 minutes, technically it's a cyber incident, but did anybody even notice your website wasn't there? If you're Amazon, maybe, but if you're Caffeinated Risk, I don't think we'd notice for a week.
I don't think we'd notice it. Oh, okay.
But we don't derive any revenue from it.
Right.
It's not critical to our podcast because the actual content is spread out on Spotify and Amazon and all the rest. So, you know, even if Spotify was down, you could listen to us somewhere else. So just through dumb luck, we made ourselves resilient.
We're supposed to say that was planned. Yeah, we put that in place.
Yeah. Right? But at the same time, we're not exactly what we'd call a critical service.
No.
And I guess the RCMP technically aren't the intelligence agency, but they would be the equivalent of
Canada's National Police Force, right? But they do have an intelligence arm. And
that would be like the FBI in the States, though, right?
Similar to, yeah. And it would be, the issue I have is that it's never, and I think you kind of put something out there that I hope everyone caught, this idea that if you're down for 20 minutes, for us, would it matter? For Amazon, would it matter? So there's always that. That's one of the things it's a tough lesson for folks to learn. It's the impact.
Yes.
Like, what's the consequence of it's down? If for us, 20 minutes, you're right, we would probably just get an email. We'd be like, oh, really? Is it back up? Oh, okay, great. For somebody else, if Amazon was down for 20 minutes, the cost per minute, I'm assuming, is in the millions for transaction volume. But when you hear stuff like, you know, no impact to, really? Are you sure? Because if you announced it, you know, are you doing it just out of courtesy? I don't know. I always wonder, you want to hear the full story behind that, right?
Again, we're completely speculating here. Just disclaimer, we have no inside information, even
correct.
If we know people in the government, we didn't call any of them and ask.
No, exactly. This is armchair quarterbacking out of the best, right?
So. Okay. But having responded to lost count of how many incidents and forensic investigations, you can sort of put the pieces together.
Yeah.
I think that RCMP thing was nothing. But you know what I did find was they had mentioned, the GCA, Global Affairs of Canada, or GAC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Global Affairs of Canada, GAC. Yeah.
And they said, oh, but it was kind of like that one on the 30th. And what? Yeah. Like, again, I haven't been watching. Normally when things happen in Canadian cyber, nobody notices. So, but yeah. The U.S., if the FBI had been hit, oh man, it had been over Twitter and the whole bit.
Everybody would all know.
But yeah, the RCMP, there's nothing to see here. Keep going.
Yeah.
But I looked at that GAC thing and very different because maybe because it was a little longer time frame or somebody was a little more forthcoming. Different department, they've got a different media relations conversation. I don't know, but that one looked very unique because they said unauthorized access to personal information of users, including employees.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I found two or three different versions and ironically, two different CBC reports with different information, but they all kind of lined up. But I assume the different reporter talks to somebody else and they get a slightly different story. Absolutely. I mean,
different source and different perspective. Yeah.
Gluing a few breadcrumbs together and hoping you get a sandwich, right? But one of the reports had mentioned there was a VPN.
Yeah.
And the report said the system was vulnerable from the 20th of December to the 24th of January. And they mitigated it by taking it offline. You know, an unplanned IT outage. That definitely works. And we had mentioned Colonial. They shut everything down out of an abundance of caution because they didn't know for sure. So I can absolutely understand that kind of response. We don't know how far anybody got. We just shut it off for now. And one report mentioned that employees would now no longer be permitted to work from home from the 24th of January. Now, I'm not sure if that's permanent or whether it's just that one department until they get stuff fixed, but they knew this was exposed and vulnerable, supposedly, and something happened on the 19th. There was email exposed, and they mentioned two drives, so I'm assuming some kind of shared documents, things like that. So you start to piece that together, you think, okay, so they left something vulnerable, compromised cred. Somehow somebody got in and got something.
Right.
But this is back to the everybody's got a plan until they get a punch in the face thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you were expecting the VPN to hold, but you didn't really think beyond that. Assuming you understood, you found out the thing was breached. And I mean, this happens. This is not that unusual anymore. The next question that usually would be on a senior manager, director, VP kind of mindset would be, so what did they get access to?
Yeah.
I know I've had you ask me that question, and I always give you that lovely answer of, I don't know, we're not auditing that because, and then the big long story of the technical difficulties around that. What was the rest of your plan? Because we'll often design systems with a control, but we don't usually take that next step and say, now let's assume that control fails.
Mm-hmm.
What could happen? And how would we know? I can turn on file auditing. I can put in a NetFlow collector. I can do technical solution XYZ. How much money do you have? And it's not just for collecting it. You need some way for somebody to go in and look at it and work with it and to be able to say, perhaps at the level of a legal statement even, this is all they got to, and I can prove it. And we don't usually plan for something to fail. We should always be thinking, and when that breaks, what would happen next?
It becomes that resilient approach, right? We've talked about that throughout the last couple of years. And I know this year we wanted to focus more on it. This idea that as an organization, you know, like you mentioned, the plan works great until you get a punch in the face. And then it's, what if, right? What if your VPN's not there? Now what? Oh, well, we hadn't put that in the plan. So it's hard, I think, for a lot of security professionals and executives in general to be able to pivot from I've planned for something to occur. And if there's a deviation from that something that impacts an asset I needed to help with the recovery, what's plan B look like? Because you may have to go down the alphabet a little further now. It's What other options do you have? What else can you do to get back to normal? And if the thing you're relying on as part of your response is no longer available, now what? And I think that becomes the key for folks to remember when they're building out their plans or they're looking at how do you keep focusing on that concept of resilience, is that you are never going to get it right the first time. Out of the gate, you're going to make mistakes. But, you know, we go back to the whole principle of ESRM is this idea of how do I go through, you know, that the design, how do I go through that design engineering approach? How do I go through that that if I do a design thinking approach to building out my plan and I incorporate the concept of resilience to it, now that means I'm always in this constant state of ideate, right? I should be thinking of, okay, and now what? And now what? Mm-hmm. And giving yourself the luxury to fail. But I think, I don't know, I was going to ask, in all of the times that you have done incident response and all of the approaches that you've taken with the plans that you followed, how many of them were exactly to the book and you were able to literally go from page to page and flip your way through until, hey, we've recovered from the incident, life is good?
I think it depends on how far in the book.
Yeah. Okay.
No, we're getting pretty good at page one. I'm pretty happy about that. I've rewritten a lot of plans, and I helped rewrite one, and people were flabbergasted because it was a very prestigious firm that had actually created it. And wow. Yeah, we don't do that. No, we don't do that. Actually, we would solve it this way and that. And you start just thinking about how we would go about it. And the plan is good. The other plan was good as well. It just didn't necessarily fit our organization. So I think,
right.
I think there's nothing wrong with going to get a book, you know, IR for dummy. Business continuity for dummies. Go find anything on the internet that says these are the steps. You know, first you got to know something happened. That's a big one.
Yeah, that's kind of key.
And then figure out how bad it really is, and then start keeping it from getting worse. And, you know, sometimes those two steps are not necessarily linear. You may start digging and start blocking something and only find out, oh, it's actually going two ways instead of one, or we never thought to look over there. That's actually unusual. And sometimes you find yourself chasing and you're entirely convinced there's a problem, and it turns out actually that's entirely normal for that system. These ones over here, no. But that one, yeah, that's actually how that works. Oh, good to know. Thanks. And so you get into this argument sometimes of, well, we should have all our data flows and we should have our asset management. And no, you should have an understanding of the overall process. You should be able to accept that you're going to learn things along the way that are going to challenge what you thought you knew 2 hours ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're going to have to backtrack. You're going to have to be prepared to deal with some things. But that's kind of in that moment. When you see something like Colonial or what Suncor went through this year, Saudi Aramco a decade ago, what do you do when it goes on for 3 weeks, for 5 weeks, that kind of thing? Yeah. And that was one of the things we were talking about with Steve last month, was a long-term disruption. The adrenaline kicks in and everybody can do 18 hours and you're bagged the next day, but you get through it, right? Yeah. But what about when you got to spell people off? Do you have fresh horses that can come in and continue to go? Or are they really just keeping the water on the fire until somebody gets back to know the next plan? And there's never a perfect situation for that. But when you build in things into your incident response plan, like shift change, okay, We got six people working this right now. I need three of you to go home.
Yeah.
And we're going to call in somebody else to help out. But you three, I need you back on the line at 6 a.m. So we're assuming you have remote connectivity. You're going to be working from home. But apparently, if you're with the Global Affairs Canada, that might not
have. Yeah.
Hoofing it into the office in Ottawa for 6 a.m. That could be kidding. Sucky. But I think understanding when you first stand it up, who's currently doing this, I think breaking up the response process into functions and roles so you don't look like a bunch of six-year-old kids playing soccer and everybody's chasing the ball, but nobody's really sure what's going on.
Yeah.
Having those roles and that, having seen that built out, that is definitely an improvement. That makes a heck of a difference.
Agreed.
And believe it or not, you know, tracking what's happening during the incident, making a list of things that you know are down, having a list of people you can call. Oh, that looks like great. Does anybody know who actually runs the Unix server department? Actually, yeah, let me go look it up. He's on the list or she's on the list here. And they find you somebody and they join. So I think, especially now with the modern tools like Zoom and Teams and, you know, even Google Hangouts, if your Teams was compromised, you could go to Google. Like, a lot of us have options.
Yeah.
I think it's a little easier than when we were doing this and everybody had to get into a boardroom.
Oh, like, do you remember that?
Yeah, oh, I remember those boardroom things and, you know,
3:30
in the morning and there's... like being the only vegetarian on the team is like, yeah, you know what? Yeah. I'm eating the Hawaiian pizza. Screw it. I'm ready to chew through the wall here. Like, it was a different thing. Like, I think now the ability to respond to some of these cyber attack is better, but that definitely assumes that you've got a working network that you can trust to respond from, which is not a guarantee.
No, not at all.
And again, if we think back to what would resilient look like? Where would you fall back to?
Yeah.
If your infrastructure was compromised, do you have a place where you could wage a fight?
Yeah.
Now, if we were to think back to what Brian was talking about the episode before, is that material that you didn't have the ability to respond? You can't say you shouldn't have thought about it. A reasonable person would think about it. Just off the top of your head, how many? We've just been talking 5 or 6 different.
Yeah.
And the thing with the RCMP and the Global Affairs Canada was so underwhelming.
Yeah.
10 years ago, this would have been all over the news for weeks. And now it's kind of like,
yeah. I gave this presentation last week and it was to a group of government folks. And I remember providing the presentation. And one of the points I talked about, as we look at a risk-based approach and we start designing it, that there is... the value to it is just this, right? We have a chance to create, you know, if we have to pivot and create a plan B or a plan C on the fly, we've done enough of the muscle memory to understand what it means to do an incident response, right? Tabletop exercises, you've built your plan, you've tested your plan. If there's a change to the plan midway through or a resource change occurs, or I can't, you know, like you said, I can't use VPN, I got to use something else, or hey, Teams is infected, well, so we go, oh, we got Google, we got Zoom, even old school Cisco, if you want to get on that path. I think it provides, it's the memory that we have. It's the muscle memory to figure out, I can still adapt. I guess the concern that I have is even in some of these events, and even, I don't know if this is true, but I wanted to ask, even in those that are responding to it, have we become numb because we do so many of them, or we read about so many of them, or... it's to the point now where 15 years ago, if a law enforcement agency was even considered part of a breach, oh my God, that would be headlines. Here it was no comment, no operational impact, and it's out of the news cycle in a day or so.
Yeah.
Where have we, like, I'm just wondering from our lens, have we gotten to the point where we're numb now to this?
Well, as somebody who still carries a pager way more often than I'd like... and that's not a complaint. I think it's important that we treat that role seriously. I don't get that same panic, but I definitely have it's game time mindset. Mm-hmm. And yep. This is what we train for. That's my experience. There are days when I definitely feel there's no point, yeah. But you know, most of the time I'm trying to be not that guy.
I think that's important though, right? Like I think the media has either oversaturated or there's so much of it in some news cycle, some weeks that we see so much of it. I don't know that the average audience member watching it is absorbing it as much as they used to anymore. I think it's become potentially overwhelming for the audiences because they've been watching so much of it over the years. We still react. We still see it. The security professionals that have to manage it, I think, are still up to the task and still, to your point, you know, everybody wants to still defend the castle because that's what we're here for. I just wonder if our executives getting as numb to that as how the audience is from some news cycles.
My experience is they're going the other way.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, I think they're more freaked out about it than they ever used to be.
What do you think's driving it? Is it the legislation? Is it the...
The news.
News.
Oh, yeah. Like... Yeah. Absolutely. When something hits Bleeping Computer or Global, CNN, all that kind of stuff, part of the job, I think, of a VP or director, you know, is calming those people down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that particular thing is real, but it's not applicable to us.
Right.
I think what we're missing is, however,
yes.
Now that I have your attention, we are really concerned about blah and blah and blah. So I think that would be a good strategy if, rather than complain about them calling you on a Saturday afternoon asking about something they just read, you know, one of these trade magazines, if it's really you, it's like, heck yeah. In fact, if you check, you know, with person A, we're trying to strike up a project to resolve that very thing.
Right.
Maybe you might even get, great, do you guys have an exec sponsor?
Yeah. You know, you bring up a good point, this idea of training the security professionals to leverage that discussion point so that to keep the program moving, to keep focusing on the risk. And you're right, I have done that in past lives. No, Mr. So-and-so, or no, Minister so-and-so, or hey, counselor, no, we don't have that particular technology, so there isn't an impact for that particular instance. It's the then, but do you have time next week that we could chat about what we are looking at? I could really use your help to understand how can I move forward with this. I lost count of how many times I've done that type of conversation, and it leads you into that. All right, what, you know, so you're sure we're not? No, absolutely, we weren't. We didn't have an impact for that technology that made it to the news, but here's what we're looking at, and it may have a similar impact if it went sideways. Right. And that opened up a lot of different discussions. And it was, I didn't feel like I was chasing an ambulance. I didn't feel that I was going down a rabbit hole. But what it did feel was that it was a chance to educate the executive. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if they were concerned enough to reach out on a Saturday afternoon to ask, then absolutely answer the question. But I also would then ask, now that I, you know, to your point, Doug, if I have your attention, or, hey, is there a way that I can work with your team to chat with them next week about this and go over what the thing I'm worried about is?
Yeah.
It works, right? You just have to get past that first 2-minute panic when some executive phones you that you have never seen before, but it shows up before and going, why is the CFO calling me? And you recognize that number and you're like, holy moly. And it's, it does make for some... you're quickly straightening out your clothes sitting on your patio furniture in the backyard. Absolutely. And we've seen this, right, with some folks who don't have a bigger picture approach to this or aren't basing it on a business where they would just say, no, that don't worry about it. We're okay. And then leave it at that. Yeah. I do like when you mentioned that, can you leverage that conversation? Absolutely. Because that leads to that executive approach, that trusted advisor, and keeps building up that concept of resilience, right?
Yeah, you can start to discuss what that plan might be. You know, if we had to respond that way, what would it take? Well, something like this, okay, how much would that cost? We may have to spread that over 2 years, 3 years. What could we do this year? Well, the best we could do this year for the spare change left in the jar at the end
of the few shekels you've given us, yes.
at the end of all the other things we promised to deliver this year,
yeah,
probably about this. I'm like, okay, but, you know, priorities change in organizations all the time. Maybe they can reshuffle, but that's their call.
Yep. Yeah.
Now they understand. You know, maybe it's a deferred priority and you're kind of holding your breath for the remainder of the budget cycle, but you already know what's line item one for next year. Mm-hmm. Well, that's still good because you can start modifying some things like when we get the new environment, we're going to go this way instead.
Yeah.
If you have no idea where you're going, any road will get you there, as the saying goes. So if you haven't even planned for a resilient architecture, then having to take a brief detour because a control failed, but you still know where you're going, isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But if you have a plan, even if it doesn't survive contact, which it probably won't, it's probably going to be more right than wrong. Even if we go back to the Tyson thing for a sec, everybody's got a plan till they get a punch in the face. But the guy he was making fun of in that statement was actually training for a boxing match with Mike Tyson. So it's not like they just found some guy off the street. That punch in the face is all but guaranteed the minute you're facing the internet. Who in your organization is responsible for looking out for those things and what you can do about it? And just because they filled in a report last year doesn't mean that's what's going on this year. Some cases you probably want to be looking at it every 3 to 6 months to say, am I still good? Could I be better? Yeah. Yep. Do I need to be better because, you know, my business model's changed or sales are up, so now I'm a more interesting target for extortion, you know?
Exactly. Well, and that's that. It's that whole iterative process, right? Like you can't, there is no static approach to doing this. And that's where getting into that, you know, I go back to that muscle memory, getting into that process where I'm checking through it. I'm revisiting it every month or 3 months or 6 months. It gives you a bit more comfort too, because you become more familiar with it. You start understanding more about the assets. You start, and as technology changes, new things come on board, old retire. If you still have the basic premise of what you're going to do, and now you can adopt to the new technologies, that becomes key. Thanks for listening to the latest podcast from Caffeinated Risk. Make sure you visit our website, caffeinatedrisk.com, to stay up to date on what we've been working on. Our website has bios of our podcast guests, posts about topics we're passionate about, and even a library reference material we find valuable in the work we do every day. And don't forget to subscribe to Caffeinated Risk on your favorite podcast service. This way, you'll be notified when we release our next podcast, and you can listen to our previous guests just in case you missed them. Thanks so much for listening to Caffeinated Risk.